Father, for tonight, we believe that your word will come to us and it will quicken us and bring life, power, and spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I just want to bring a little exposition this evening. Thank God, one of my fathers who is coming after is an explosive device. So I don't need to charge. I don't need to charge. I just want to bring understanding to someone because of where we are currently in the calendar of God. It's so important that we have understanding because it will be the tool that will guide our navigation as we journey at this season in the calendar of God. Our father began to explain for some days now and bringing us the emphasis of the times and of the season. The Bible said the sons of Issachar, they had understanding of the times and of the seasons. And what that understanding, the power that understanding conferred on them was to bring leadership and direction to the body. He said they knew what Israel ought to do. He said the heads of them were 200 and all their brethren were at their commandment. So the man that brings direction in the day of crisis is not the man that is enthroned. It's the one that has understanding. If you have no understanding, you will be enthroned. Yes, you will be a victim. Because in the day of crisis, Judah does not lead Israel. It's Issachar that leads Israel. Because the authority for leadership at that time is conferred on the man that can discern the movements and the vibration of the Spirit. And this is why understanding is so strategic at this time. You can be an apostle, you can be a prophet, you can be a bishop, yet you will be lost. Because you will not know what God is doing. This is why it's important for these kinds of understanding to be grasped and apprehended. Because it will determine every step that we take at this time. I want to share with us something very quickly on the need for perfection. The need for perfection. Because there is a judgment awaiting us at the end of this journey. The end of the journey is not just a place of flamboyance. The end of a journey is a place of judgment. And if a man will stand before that unending oracle that rages with fire, there is an attainment that he must get to in time. Perfection is not necessarily a reality of eternity. Perfection is actually a reality and a possibility in time. He said, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. For as he is, so are we in this world. However, if you look at the forces that negate the possibility of perfection in time, you begin to wonder, is it just for God to judge? Because when we look at what has happened to man, apart from the impact of the fall, that obviously imparted unto us the nature of the serpent. In John chapter 8 verse 44, it says, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father shall ye do. So the nature, the Luciferous nature, the serpentine nature, was imparted on account of the fall. And this is what the cross comes to remediate. The effect of the cross is to crucify that old nature, so we will take upon ourselves the nature of God. But however, that is not the only warfare that we have. If the only warfare we have is the warfare of nature, then we will take advantage of the provisions of the cross and walk perfectly. But in addition to the challenge of nature, there are also principalities and powers. There are rulers of the darkness of this world. There are spiritual wickedness in heavenly places that exploit us on account of ignorance, exploit us on account of insufficiencies, exploit us on account of necessary inadequacies that we have as mortals. Now, with all of these things happening, would it be just for man to be judged? These are the questions that begin to trouble you. Daddy was sharing with us and he said, when we deal with demons, we cast out demons because we have authority in the name of Jesus. But when we deal with principalities, we war with them. And Paul said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Because this is not something you do. You are not casting a spirit out of a man. The spirit is a territorial influence. And Daddy has explained to us, he said, first, principalities. The word principalities means a prince without a territory. They come first in the advancement of darkness. So the principalities come to secure a territory. If he comes to this place, for example, he will look for those who are prophetic. And he will create a quorum of prophets. And he will release the power of seduction over them. If that quorum allows that dimension to be downloaded, then seduction becomes a predominant influence. Everybody that comes under that radar, that cannot ascend beyond that energy level, whether he's innocent or not, whether he likes it or not, he will be bound by the power of seduction. Because the principality has come to fumigate the territory with seduction. This is why many young people go to territories and they find themselves sinning and they enter into levels of addiction. They don't know how it came about. Not because they intended to, but a principality has worked in that territory before they came. And as if that is not enough, when a principality is done, then the powers come. The powers are the ones that create the energy that binds you to that sin. So you cannot pull out, even when you want to. So when you have migrated from a wrong choice, you are now bound. You can no longer come out of it. And as if that is not enough, the legislators come in. The rulers of the darkness, they now create laws and systems that make it impossible to go out. And then spiritual wickedness comes with affliction. And so that decision to fornicate that you indulged in ends up with HIV. Because you have traveled in your interaction with a principality, you have touched a power, you have touched a ruler of the darkness of this world. Now you are dealing with spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So the manifestation of HIV is actually a sign that you are doing business now with spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. You have journeyed with princes. You have done business with princes. At the end of the day, you die and God will still judge you. So what is the way out? Is it possible? Will God be just? Yes. God will be just because it is possible to be perfect in this world. If it were not perfect, he wouldn't have told us. This has nothing to do with injustice in the realm of God. This has everything to do with the responsibility of the believer. In Matthew 5:48, he said, be ye perfect. It's not saying be mature. There are different contexts to the word perfection. Maturity is one of them. But when he said be ye perfect, it means enter into a state of incorruptibility. How is it possible to enter into a state of incorruptibility? Because he didn't say be ye perfect as your elder. He didn't say be ye perfect as your father in the Lord. He said be ye perfect as your heavenly father is perfect. And God is the ancient of days. So God is not growing into maturity. God is incorruptible. So Jesus is telling us it is possible to be perfect in this world. Now when we want to understand how this possibility can take place, the only way to get it is a cross. And this is why the subject of the cross becomes too important in a day like this. And if a believer is not perfect, he's already journeying to death. His life is already a waste. You know, sometimes when you begin to bring this emphasis, it looks like, are you trying to say we should leave everything? You are not permitted to do anything until you have mastered this thing. Because if they give you money, it will become a weapon to destroy you. If they give you a possession, it will become a weapon to destroy you. It said that you may be rich and prosper even as your soul prospered. That means a man is not permitted to have more money than how much of Christ he has. That means Christ becomes the indicator of your possession. Christ becomes the benchmark of your achievement. Any achievement you have beyond the knowledge of Christ becomes a tool that will ensnare you. That means our primary preoccupation is to journey in Christ. Is to journey in the Spirit until we constantly become like Him. Because the migration is a migration into immortality. He said God dwells in light and with Him is immortality. And the journey of immortality begins with regeneration, transformation, and transubstantiation. Because the three faculties of your being must attain perfection. So in Christ, on the cross, as you receive Christ, you receive regeneration. But it doesn't end there. Having received regeneration, everything you require is downloaded into your spirit. Spending from that economy now begins to bring transformation into your heart. And that is why in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18, it said these ones are alienated from the commonwealth of Israel because they are darkened in their understanding. It said, but we have not so learned Christ. It said, if it be that we have learned Christ, we should take off from ourselves concerning the old man and be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on the new man. So the protocol of perfection is the ability to take off the old man and to put on the new man. And that is not done in eternity, it's done in time. So every Christianity that does not bring us to a point where we can take off the old man and put on the new man is a joke. At best, it's religion. If it is not attained in time, there is a crisis. And this is the weight, the burden of kingdom, that a man can become like the God that he serves. That a man can journey so much in the God he serves until he becomes the reflection of that God. That was the life Jesus mirrored. He said, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophet, hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory. The word glory is the word doxa. It means the essence of God. The express image of his person. And everybody that journeys on that track must become like unto the Christ. This is the journey of perfection. But how can this be attained? There are three realms of perfection in time. And that's what I want to share with us quickly. Because there are three forces that corrupt. The first force that corrupt in this world are evil men. If you make contact with the wrong man, he will corrupt you. Except you have the power to colonize him. And unfortunately, you will constantly and consistently make contact with men. So if you must be perfect, you must have a power in you that make you transform men, not men transforming you. You must have a power within you that make you colonize men, not men colonizing you. So everybody Jesus met, it was regardless who he was. If you make contact with Jesus, you become like him. If you don't have the power to win the war before men, you will lose and you will be judged. Because God has told us already, it is possible to be perfect in this world. So our first warfare is to be perfect before men. The second thing that corrupts are the systems of this world. If you make contact with the systems of this world, it will corrupt you. Because the wisdom that built them is a sensual wisdom. The principles by which they operate is of the demonic. So the only way to win and to remain perfect is to be able to win the war of the system. And the third thing that corrupts are demonic spirits. So you must win the war of men, you must win the war of systems, and you must win the war of the spirit realm. What are the infrastructures that the cross provides for us to win this warfare? This is where the journey begins. And if men don't have this understanding, we will desire to serve God, we will fail. We will strive in our own ability, we will fail. And at the end of the day, if we fail, we will be judged. Because everything that pertains to life and godliness has already been given through the knowledge of him that called us not to trial and error, that called us not to management, that called us to glory and to virtue. This is where God called us into, but there's a protocol to get there. How do you win the corruption before men? Is by the principle of love. It looks simple, it looks weak, it looks helpless, but that's one of the greatest things that the cross gave to us. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14, he said that the love of Christ constrained us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then they that live should no longer live unto themselves but for him. This kind of love is not a feeling. This kind of love is an ordination that comes upon a man that causes him to step out of the boundary of self. So the man no longer lives within the crucible of self, because it is a love that begins with death. So what that love does, it teaches you how to die to yourself. So you step out of your own desire and you enter into the desire of God. Everything that motivates your existence now becomes for God and for man. If a man enters that level of interaction, it's impossible for that man to be corrupt by men. Why do you take bribe? Because you love yourself, not others. Why do you fornicate? Because you think you love yourself. Because you won't do what you do to the other lady with your sister. So every time you see wickedness, every time selfishness finds expression, is because love is absent. And that's why it said, love not the world. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, it said, they that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. But the foundation of the love of the Father is an understanding that you are not longer permitted to live for yourself. You can never understand this love until you know that existence is not for self. It said, they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but for him that died for them. This is what Paul understood, and he gave him victory over sin. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I live, I do not live for myself anymore. I live for him that died for me. That is love in manifestation. And the Bible said, when we enter this kind of love, what happens is that we have boldness in the day of judgment. So the reason a man can come to God and be bold is because he knew that while he was on earth, he didn't live for himself. He entered into an economy that empowered him to step out of self. His life is no longer a molecule of self-preservation, self-exaltation, self-aggrandizement, self-glorification. He was able to walk out of it. How does a man get there? It's by the verdict of the cross. Because the cross will kill that man. The man is crucified with Christ. And the moment that man dies, the only thing that motivates him is Christ and his kingdom. That's the man who can live with anybody and can never be corrupt. Because there is nothing. Jesus said, the devil cometh to me and findeth nothing. There is no ground for bargain. The devil will check, but there is no ground for bargain. It's always about God and about others. This is why we press. Because it's the Holy Ghost that administers this love. He said, the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit. So every time we say pray in tongues, we are not just saying come and ask God for something. We are actually saying come and become. Because you become first before God gives you. He said, as many as believed him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. The first power is to become, not to receive. And this is why if you study the hall of faith, you will discover the hall of fame of faith, of the faith believer, you will discover every one of them did not, what the record of their faith was not in what they received. Only Sarah was put there for receiving, and what Sarah received was not for her. He said, by faith, Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He stepped out of self. He said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved. He left his civilization. That was the same thing that happened to Abraham. Step out of thy kingdom. Step out of thy kindred. Step out of thy father. Every time that love comes, it commands you to leave everything. But we can't leave everything. That's why the devil has a ground of bargain. The moment you hold on to anything, it becomes a weapon in the hand of the devil. Because you have given him a front for bargain. When you truly enter into love, you let go. And this is the first antidote for corruption. Else we will be judged. So when God is saying be perfect, God is actually saying become a creature of love. That was the love that motivated Jesus to go to the cross. He said, it's not my will, but thine. Not my will. If you ask me, I don't want to die for man. But the Father wanted him to die, so he stepped out of self. It looks simple, but these are the hardest things in Christianity. And the only way you can do it is when the Holy Ghost administers it. Let me tell you, we can be on the altar here and quote 1,000 scriptures. We can move in the anointing, but we are still selfish. This is why the world is not changing. Sir, we were talking the other day. How does the church prepare? It's a twofold preparation. One, to have stamina to stand. And the second preparation is to build systems that can exist independent of the system of the Antichrist. So, if you understand kingdom at this time, kingdom is not only of the heart. Kingdom is also systemic. So the church must build schools that will need to enter without being vetted by the tools of the Antichrist. The church must build airports that we need to enter without being vetted by the tools of the Antichrist. The church must build institutions. But when these institutions are built, what is the philosophy? If the kingdom is not of the heart, you can't even attend the school because the man is interested in money, not to save the body of Christ. If kingdom is not of the heart, if the airport is built, because the men who God will put at the pinnacle of this system, they will become very mighty. Imagine if a point come and they say, if you don't take the mask, you can't travel. And only 3 men have airports. That means every believer will be forced to use those airports. Whatever the man calls the flight ticket, you must pay. So it's either you pay what he says or you go and take the mark. If that kind of man doesn't know God, he will become an agent of the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist will come to him for bargain. Because at that time, the fate of the church depends on him. Imagine if you needed to buy food to eat, and the only Christians that are producing food are 5. And then for you to eat, you must buy from them. And then the man tells you, bread is 50,000. So it's either you produce 50,000 or you take the mark of the beast. So at the end of the day, the men who should save the body of Christ will become the first victims. Because the Antichrist will realize the power of preservation is with them. But kingdom has not been formed in the heart. The only way that those men with such power will be able to save the body is when they are full of love. So a time will come when that man can produce and give to those who don't have money to buy for free because he's preserving them. But you can't see that happen. A time will come when the man will say, go, fly. Are you the evangelist? Go, go, go. Because he knows you are taking kingdom to another territory. But he can't do it if there is no love in his heart. Because it will be a gain. It will be an adventure of gain. It will be self-preservation. This is why it begins with perfection. Jesus knows what he told us. Instead of distracting ourselves, arguing pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, I told the argument is, are you able to stand? And being able to stand is not just to go through the peri. You can go through the peri because you are struggling to gain and you will lead others astray. God will make you. Imagine if Noah wanted to bargain for people to enter the ark. But he was able to stand his ground because he was walking with a spirit and something has been furnished on his inside. What is the second power for perfection? It's light. Daniel was not corrupt by the system because there was a light in him. He had navigation that gave him power to walk through darkness. Job said, by light I walk through darkness. That was how Daniel walked through Babylon. There was light. He said, in him is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Daniel chapter 5 verse 11. He said, light and understanding is found in this Daniel. Excellent wisdom. For he had power to explain hard sentences. If a man has no light beyond the sun, he cannot pass through the veil. This is why we meditate on God's word. This is why we hear these truths. These truths are to give us light so that our discernment can be strengthened. If this light is not there, you will continue to compromise. Your boss can threaten you and you can give up. Because you have not seen survivor apart from that system. You think that system is your savior. But if you have a light that is God that preserves you, you can walk. If there are certain negotiations they bring to you, you tell them you are going. You will tell them, how is it possible for daddy to resign from NNPC? If you give me that job now, we think twice. How do you walk out of sort? There's light. You put it side by side with kingdom. If I give up this thing, I will reach more souls. So you can leave the system. The reason you can reach there is because you have seen yourself in the palm of God. You know that whatever happens, come rain, come shine, you will survive. That's why he said, give a portion to 7, give a portion to 8. You know not the evil that will come upon the earth. There is a light that some men have now, that even if this earth come down crumbling, they cannot be moved. They have become like Mount Zion. It's light. When you see a man with assurance, it's not goodness. He has seen something. They came to Elijah, the army, they wanted to kill them. Gehazi was panicking. Elijah was at peace. It's not because Elisha. He was not at peace because he's a prophet. He was at peace because he saw chariots of fire on the mountain. And when Gehazi saw it, he too became at rest. If you don't see something, you can't survive. He said Moses left Egypt because he saw him that was invincible. It's not because Moses has so much burden for Israel. He saw something. And on the strength of what he saw, the Bible said he had recompense unto the reward. You can't walk out of corruption. You can't walk out of the system of this world if you have no light. You will go to sleep. The devil will buffet you. You will dream one dream 10 times. He will show you the crisis that you will walk into. He will show you how there's no food, how that nobody accepts you in the last 10 years. Only this job has sustained you. If you can't see something else apart from that job, you will compromise. He will buffet you from every side. The only thing you will be able to see is darkness. The contract that is brought before you, to either give up your soul or to embrace it, or to walk away rather. And many Christians will give up because they will have no light. You know what it means? When you have not eaten for 3 days and you walk into a mall and they tell you, don't worry, just take this. You will look at it and say, you may go and come back. When you do it for 4 days, you will come and say, come. That's when so many ideas will come alive. And that's one of the things evangelists were sharing with us. You will now say, but it's my spirit that is saved. That scripture, that doctrine will become sharp in your spirit. And this is not about, how do you enter into light? Is by beholding him daily. We all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed. I'm just trying to show you why spiritual exercise at this time is not negotiable. Because all the things that will keep you are hidden in the secret place. When people are praying now, it's not prayer champion. No. It's an economy of transformation. And as you are there, you will press until you see something. Because when we see him, we will become like him. So the reason we are pressing is not necessarily because... So some people say, pray. They don't have a reason to pray. The first reason to pray is to survive. Because there are treacherous times. And there are many people that have not seen anything. Forget the bold talk. There are many people that their conviction rests on nothing. But you must come to a point where every compartment of your life, there is a light by which you walk. For your walk, there must be a light that powers you. For your health, there must be a light that powers you. Because Daddy was sharing with me, say, what if somebody needs an inhaler? And then he goes to the shop. And they say, well, to get the inhaler, you have to take the mark. And the person is gasping for air. What will that person do? So if the person doesn't have light for health now, he's endangered. Love may have colonized you, but do you have light? Do you have light for your family? Do you have light for your health? Do you have light for your job? Do you have light for your relationship? Because the devil will check everything. And if your challenge is your health, he wouldn't try to convince you doctrinally. He will just give you a sickness that requires urgent attention. And it will be a matter of split second. Either you choose him or you die. And at that point, if there is nothing you know, Paul said, if only in this life we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. If you don't know beyond death, you will compromise. So a point will come when you say, if I perish, I perish. It's a light. And even Esther did not have it until they brought pressure on her. So there was urgency to press. And when she went to pray for 3 days, she contacted something. She came back to say, if I perish, I perish. If you x-ray your life for a moment, how many areas of your life is there a light by which you walk with? Why do you think we just compromise with little negotiation on things that don't even matter? Because there's no conviction. And there's no conviction because there's no light. And if we continue walking like that, we are just failure waiting to happen. The third infrastructure for perfection is life. Life is actually what will empower you over the demonic realm. He said, the devil cometh not but for to kill. John 10:10, to steal and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have life and life to the full. So what will keep you standing against a demon? What will keep you standing against the attacks of the devil is the measure of life that is in your spirit. You enter into love through communion, so the Holy Ghost will export love abroad in your heart. You enter into light through beholding him, but you enter into life by eating the word. The word of God must become like a drip to a sick person for you. He said, my son, attend to my word. Give thine ears to my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. put them in the midst of thy heart, they are life to them that find them. So if you don't find the word of life, you will not stand. The devil will win. Did you not notice when he came to Jesus, it was a battle of truth? If you are the Son of God. So it was scripture against scripture. Scripture against scripture. The only way a man cannot be tossed to and fro is when he has caught life. That life that precipitates from the world. Because the devil will carry you through a route of doctrine. He said many will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But if truth have been born in your spirit, truth will sanctify you. In John 17:17, it says, sanctify them with thy word. Thy word is truth. That is life. So you may not be accurate. The devil can say what he wants to say from morning till night, but there is an inner protocol that keeps you. You can't take the step. It will bind you because you have found that life. He said, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. There are many people that don't do business with the word of God. Everything they know, and even quote like a scripture, is something they heard another preacher say. So they say the Bible says somewhere. The day of the Bible says somewhere has passed. It is something you must have sat on until it has crystallized in your spirit. So it's not a time to start on one leg. As you pray, that's how you must eat the word. If you only pray, you will fall. If you only eat the word, you will fall. He said, I found thy word. I did eat them, and they became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Have you found the word? Have you found truth? That is your stamina in the day of trouble. All the philosophy you know, if you enter trouble, it will fly. Have you not been there before? You think you know about healing until you are sick. And then you start pursuing everybody. They say, put salt in water and drink by 12 midnight. You go and... You don't know the one that works. Because everything that has worked in your life has been trial and error. And you took it for granted until trouble came. You thought you knew about giving. They say, study this thing, you will not. Until you are in a deep crisis. You now say, is it because I don't so sweet? Is it because I don't do this? Is it because... You cannot live by trial and error in this time. You will dig into God with all you've got to be able to stand. That's why I say, having done all to stand, stand therefore. The reason God will judge is because all of these facilities are available now. You have the grace to press into God now. If you puncture that energy in your spirit by distraction and by sin, it's your fault. So you come for a revival meeting. The man of God ministers, you come out, you cry, and then something enters you. But you go back and you sit on BB Niger. You go back, you sit on Facebook for 12 hours. You go back, you are chatting, and the Holy Ghost in your spirit is grieved. He says, separate yourself, you wouldn't. The reason you will fall is because you kept puncturing that energy. But if you understand that this is a time of warfare, every little ember of fire that enters your heart, you will deploy it into something. You may leave a meeting and you catch something. You will deploy it into 20 days, 21 days fast. You may deploy it into studying the Gospels. You may deploy it into hours of prayer. What you are doing is that you are incubating yourself against the day of trouble. But many, that energy comes, they waste it. It comes, they waste it. The time to waste spiritual resources is over. You don't know what it takes for God to kindle fire in the heart of a man. And he said, for anyone that fire has been kindled, Leviticus 6:12, he said, you must put wood on it every morning. That's the job of the priest. Put wood on it every morning. The fire on the altar must not be put out. The priest must put wood on it every morning. But most times, Christians are irresponsible. They are just hoping that when there is challenge, God will show up. God has shown up in Christ. That's why most times when you wait, nothing happens. It is what you do with what is available that will determine the faithfulness of God and the intervention of God in your life. It's a journey of perfection. And if we don't get there in this world, the devil will ensure that we are slipped off. Just bow your heads and pray.
If you were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website, oracomichael.com, to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.